Nebuchadnezzar's Dream of World Empires. This chapter is based on Daniel 2. Soon after Daniel and his companions entered Nebuchadnezzar's service, events occurred that revealed the power of God to the idol-worshipping nation. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream by which his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. But when the king awoke, he found it impossible to recall the particulars. In his perplexity, Nebuchadnezzar assembled his wise men, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and requested them to reveal to him the meaning, to bring relief to his mind. The wise men responded, "Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." Dissatisfied with their evasive answer, the king commanded his wise men to tell him not only the interpretation, but the dream itself. "If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor." Still, the wise men answered, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." Nebuchadnezzar was thoroughly angered by the apparent disloyalty of those he had trusted. He declared, "You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The magicians attempted to show the king that his request was unreasonable. "No king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Then the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's opportunity has come. According to the decree, Daniel and his friends also must die. When Daniel learned this, with counsel and wisdom, he asked Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Arioch told him the story of the king's perplexity over his dream and of his failure to find help. Upon hearing this, Daniel took his life in his hands, venturing into the king's presence to beg for time so that he could ask his God to reveal to him the dream and its interpretation. The monarch agreed to this request. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Together they sought wisdom from the source of knowledge. Their faith was strong that God had placed them where they were, that they were doing His work. In times of perplexity, they had always turned to Him for guidance. Now they submitted themselves anew to the Judge of the earth, pleading that He would grant deliverance. And the God whom they had honored now honored them. He revealed the king's dream and its meaning to Daniel in a night vision. "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever," Daniel exclaimed. "He reveals deep and secret things. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Going immediately to Arioch, Daniel said, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Quickly, the officer ushered Daniel in before the king, with the words, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation." Daniel's refreshing honesty. In his first words, the Jewish captive disclaimed honor for himself and exalted God as the source of all wisdom. When the king asked, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel replied, "There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. As for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, Daniel declared confidently, and the king, listening with closest attention, knew it was the very dream that had troubled him. So his mind was prepared to receive and accept the interpretation. He was to be awakened, if possible, to a sense of his responsibility to heaven. God would open before him the events of the future down to the end of time. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. The king is humbled. The king was convinced. In humility he fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, saying, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Nebuchadnezzar revoked the decree to destroy the wise men. Their lives were spared because of Daniel's connection with the revealer of secrets. And the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. In history, the growth of nations, the rise and fall of empires, appear as if dependent on human will and ability. But the Word of God draws the curtain aside, and we see the agencies of the All-Merciful One, silently, patiently working out the counsels of His own will. Hundreds of years before certain nations came on the stage of action, the Omniscient One looked down the ages and predicted the rise and fall of the universal kingdoms. God declared to Nebuchadnezzar that Babylon would fall and a second kingdom would arise. When it failed to exalt the true God, its glory would fade. A third kingdom also would pass away, and a fourth, strong as iron, would subdue the nations of the world. Why nations and empires fail. If the rulers of Babylon had always kept the fear of the Lord before them, they would have been given wisdom and power that would have kept them strong. But they made God their refuge only when they were perplexed. At such times, failing to find help in their great men, they sought it from men like Daniel, who honored the living God and were honored by him. Though the rulers of proud Babylon were of the highest intellect, they had separated themselves so far from God that they could not understand the revelations and warnings given them concerning the future. Babylon, shattered and broken at last, passed away because in prosperity its rulers regarded themselves as independent of God and gave credit for the glory of their kingdom to human achievement. God brought his wrath on the Medo-Persian realm because in it his law had been trampled underfoot. The fear of the Lord found no place in the hearts of the vast majority of people. Wickedness and corruption prevailed. The kingdoms that followed were even more base and corrupt, and they sank lower and still lower in the scale of moral worth. The power that every ruler on earth exercises comes from God, and the ruler's success depends on the use he makes of this power. To each the word is, "I arm you, though you do not know me." Isaiah 45, verse 5, NRSV. The Word of God alone reveals that the strength of nations, as of individuals, is not found in the opportunities or facilities that appear to make them invincible. It is not found in their boasted greatness. It is measured by their faithfulness in fulfilling God's purpose.